How's that? Is that better? Okay. We serve the God who is the God of the living. And to me, I think we forget that. I think that somehow we think of God and heaven and death, and we all think of it together. Our God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. We live through Him because He's given us life. Because He was the first to be risen, we also will be risen. It's a wonderful thing. There's an old, I don't know who's heard it, but I used to like Gold City. Quartet, Gold City, anybody? They had an old song, and it started like this. It said, "You can plant some flowers on the grave where they laid old Buddha down. And you can hear Muhammad's children pray to his bones in the ground. But you journey to Jerusalem to a graveyard empty there and look for Jesus' body. But there ain't nobody there." Y'all, that's what it's all about. There ain't nobody in that grave. There hasn't been for 2,000 years. And listen, one of these days, they're going to put us in the ground maybe, but there won't be anybody there when Jesus comes back to get us, because we're going to come. He's going to bring us to be with Him, and we're going to be changed. Our scripture today is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to talk about exactly that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start reading in verse 51, and would you stand while I read God's word? The Bible says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Oh, Father God, I come to you today, Lord, and I praise you, Lord, and I praise your name. I come to you in humility, as humble as I can, knowing, Lord, that I was lost. I was a sinner bound for a devil's hell, richly deserved the punishment that I would have got, and you sent your Son to live a perfect, upright, righteous life in my stead, to bleed and to die and to take on my sins and the wrath of God for my sake. But He was perfect. I thank you, Lord, that you have the power not only to lay down your life, but the power to raise your life back again. And that because you have, you'll bring us with you. Thank you, Lord, again. In Jesus' name, amen. I like what the scripture says. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." A mystery. Everybody likes a mystery, right? And this is a great, incredible mystery that scientists, that philosophers have discussed for many, many, many years. The mystery of death. The mystery of life. How are we alive? How did life begin? What happens when we die? Is there life after death, or do we just end? Philosophers have debated it and debated it. Scientists have done experiments. It is a great mystery to the world around us, isn't it? Even in Paul's day, he said, this is a great mystery, but behold, I've got an answer. Listen, we have an answer, church. School will tell us it's a mystery. Philosophy tells us it's a mystery. The doctors tell us it's a mystery. The government tells us it's a mystery. But the church of the living God has an answer to that mystery. Now that is incredible, isn't it? The thing that has stumped people for generations, for generation after generation after generation, and the answer is right here. Why do we not bother to look where the answer is? Why have we not read the book where the answer is? I've read books that ask the question. I've read books that speculated. I've read books on theory. I've read lots of books that didn't have an answer. And at the end, they will admit, this is just a theory. This is a thought. This is what I think may be. God said, I know. And He tells us, what is the mystery? It's not a mystery anymore because we know the answer. That's incredible. He says, behold, I'll show you the mystery. We won't all sleep. We're not all going to die. One of these days, and y'all, I kind of hope it's me. I hope I'm one of them. I hope it's soon. I hope Jesus comes back and takes me to be with Him and I don't have to die. Who's with me? Right now, today, this morning, I am ready. I want the Lord to come get me. I'm ready to go. And I know my family is. But I also know there are those who are not ready. And for that reason, I'll wait until the Lord is ready to come get me. For that reason, I'll take another day and try to speak a word, share the gospel, tell somebody I care about how to come with me, how to come with me on that day. And y'all, that's what it's all about, is to bring somebody with us. When the Lord comes back to get me, I know He's coming to get me. And I know I'm going to go. But I want as many people, as many in this room and as many in this town, as many in this state and country and world, I want as many of them to come with me as I can. And you know why? Because that's what Jesus wants. That's why He came. For whosoever believes in Him. It doesn't matter who they are. He said, whosoever believes in me shall not perish but have eternal life. And that was His wish, and that should be our wish. And it's not a mystery anymore. Everybody's not going to die. We won't all sleep, but we will all be changed. Every last one of us. Everybody who knows Jesus, and I guess if we got to go there, everybody who doesn't know Jesus will be changed. We will all have a new body. All of us, one day, will have a new body. Now, whether it's fashioned to be with Jesus in heaven, or if it's fashioned to take the punishment of hell, that's our choice, isn't it? That's the choice we all have to make. It's not really a mystery anymore, is it? That's not a mystery. It's actually pretty simple. God doesn't make it difficult because He wants everybody to be able to make that choice from the smallest to the oldest. Everybody must make that choice. But we will all be changed. Oh, y'all, I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I look forward to having a body I don't have to worry about breaking down on me. A body that, you know, those old vehicles that I drive, I'm always working on. Well, I'm beginning to feel like, you know, that's kind of the way my body is too. It's a lot like that old truck out there that's constantly breaking down, leaving me stranded. I've got to pop the hood and I've got to figure out what's wrong and try to get it to go another mile. You know, sometimes I start feeling that way about me. I need to pop the hood and see what's wrong, see if I can just get down the road another mile. Oh, it'll be a wonderful day to be changed and not have to worry about that, have that new body. And listen, some people think that when you go to heaven, that it's not going to be a body. We're going to be spirits, and that's all there's going to be. We're just going to be spirits, no flesh and blood. Jesus said, you're going to be like me. You're going to have a body, a glorified body like I have. And Jesus said to his disciples, come feel of me. Put your fingers in my hands. Feel my flesh and my bone. Does a spirit have flesh and bone? No, he said. Why are you worried? I'm going to give you a new body. A real body. But it'll be a changed body. A glorified body. A different body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. In twinkling of an eye. Now, a twinkle of an eye is pretty fast. I don't think I've got much time to do anything in a twinkle of an eye. How about you? Now, there's a warning in this verse. In the twinkling of an eye, Jesus is warning us that he's not going to come in the cloud and he's not going to stay there and he's not going to raise his hands and he's not going to preach a sermon and he's not going to tell us, hey, listen, you've got 1 hour to get your life right. You've got 1 hour to accept me. You got one more chance. You see, he's warning us right now that that's not how it's going to happen. When he comes for us, it's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You've got to make your decision here and now. Right now, in this world, today, before Jesus comes back. That is our opportunity. Don't think that there's going to be another. If there would be another, he would have told us there would be another. If he said in his word that, yeah, I'm going to give you another chance, but he doesn't. And what he says is always true. So in the twinkling of an eye, and the trump is going to sound, and we're going to be changed. And we're going to be raised up incorruptible, the Bible says. Incorruptible. He goes on to say that the mortal shall put on immortality, and the corruptible shall put on incorruptibility. Now, those are not the same thing. I think back to Adam and Eve. They were created in the garden. And they were created to be forever, to be immortal. They had access to the tree of life in the garden. But they were not incorruptible. You know how I know? Because they were corrupted. Now, they were not corrupt when God made them. They were corrupted by a decision that came from their own heart. And friends, each and every one of us is corrupted by something in our own heart. A selfish desire to do for ourselves. To do what we want, how we want, when we want, and not what God wants. We choose to disobey God. And we're corrupted. But think about what this is saying, because this is beyond immortality. Never again will we have to worry about being like Adam. Think about what I'm saying. Now, Adam was made to be with God forever, but he chose to corrupt himself with sin. Never again will we have to worry about that, church. When God raises us up, he's going to change us, and he's going to change us inside and out, and we will not be corruptible. We will have no desire to sin. We'll have no reason to sin. We will always do what God says, how God says, when God says, and we will love it. And we will be happy with it. And we won't want to do anything else. And we will be incorruptible. Satan won't be able to get to us. He won't be able to tempt us. And if he did, we wouldn't fall for it because we're incorruptible, because God has made us incorruptible like he was incorruptible. Listen, Jesus is the only man who ever lived to this point who was incorruptible, could not be corrupted. I look around me and I tell you, I see some corrupt folks. People are corrupt. And not just the ones in power. Their power corrupts. Well, yeah, they're corrupt. But listen, Look around you. Everybody else is corrupt too, from the least to the greatest. But one day, we'll be incorruptible, made in the image of Christ, never to fall. And listen to what it says. Once we've put on that immortality and incorruptibility, it says, the writing that was said, that was written, that said, it'll be fulfilled, that death is swallowed up in victory. Y'all, I love that. Think about the magnitude of what that just said. That death is swallowed up in victory. Death is big to humanity, isn't it? Death is the great swallower, isn't it? Death has for centuries swallowed up humanity. That's the way we see it, right? That's how human beings see death, as the great swallower. There's an old Louis Lamar, he says in that Louis Lamar, there's only one thing we can be sure of, that we ain't none of us going to get out of this alive, right? Ain't none of us. We've known that as human beings basically our whole lives. It has always been taught from a worldly standpoint that death is that great swallower that cannot be defeated. But not only can it be defeated, but God's love and Jesus' righteousness is so much bigger than the sin that caused death that it not only defeats it, but it's just so big that it can just swallow it up. Just swallow the whole thing. That death that people are so afraid of comes from sin. And our sin, y'all, is great. The sin of this world is great. It's huge. The number of sins throughout humanity from the beginning of time until now is so much nobody could ever number it. And still the Bible says that the goodness of God can swallow it up. Y'all, that's the God we serve. A God who can just swallow up the sins of the world. Death is swallowed up in victory. And then, listen, because we know that, because we believe that, and that's the faith, isn't it? That's where faith comes in. Do I really believe that to be true? Because sometimes we don't act like we think it's true, do we? Sometimes we live our lives as if we don't believe that that's true. We don't believe that God is bigger than our sin. We don't believe that God is bigger than the world. We don't believe, some of us, that God is bigger than me. That's why I do what I want to do instead of him. Because sometimes I get to thinking I'm bigger than he is. Now, we couldn't be more wrong, could we? But because we know what Jesus has done for us, because we believe that he is risen from the dead and that he's going to come back and get us, and that whatever he says, listen, he's faithful. So whatever he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. And because we believe that, listen to what it says. It says we can laugh. We can mock death. We can laugh in his face. We say, hey, old death, listen, where's your sting? You scare everybody else, but you don't scare me. Now that one is scared of it, but he don't scare me anymore. Why does it not scare me anymore? Because of Jesus. Because he swallowed it up. Because he defeated it. Because he extends that victory to us. And it doesn't have to scare us anymore. You know, people, that big bully, you remember, I don't know, maybe you were a kid and you had that big bully and you're scared to talk back to him and he tells you what to say and you're scared to not say it. Death is kind of like that big bully. It scares people. It determines how you think and what you say and how you act. But not if you believe in Jesus. Not if you believe that He's had the victory over Him, right? Once you see somebody whip the bully, he don't seem so scary anymore, does he? Once you've got somebody on your side that you know can whip the bully, he's not scary anymore. Listen, we've got somebody on our side that can handle his business, who has handled his business, who has destroyed and swallowed up death itself. Where is your sting? Where is the fear? Why am I worried? Why would I be worried about you? Oh grave, where is your victory? You think you're tough, huh? Satan, death, sin, the world. Listen, the world does think it's tough. The world thinks it's smart. Look around you. Listen to the news. Listen to the politicians. Listen to the authorities that be and see if they don't seem to have some kind of confidence in the world. They think that society is more powerful than God. They think that civilization has evolved to the point where we're greater than God, that we know more than He knows, that we can rewrite the Bible, that we can rewrite the laws of truth and the laws of spirituality, and that we can rewrite everything that God has given us. The world thinks it's pretty tough, doesn't it? And yet it's a drop in the bucket. The knowledge of the entire human civilization is a drop in the bucket to the wisdom of God. The power, all the power. And it's amazing to me that we get all bent out of shape and upset. Oh, China's going to get us. Russia's going to get us. Oh, the bombs, the ships, the plane. Listen, and we put so much emphasis. Oh, we've got to be the strongest nation in the world. We need more ships. We need more men. We need more nuclear bombs. We need to counteract the threats and all the ships, all the bombs, all the planes, all the guns, all the soldiers in the entire world can do nothing in the face of God. They're nothing. Why are we so worried? Why are we so worried about anything? If we're Christians, if we know Jesus, there's no reason to worry. Paul said to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you do to somebody like that? How do you threaten somebody like that? What could you possibly do to somebody who thought like Paul thinks to make them deny Christ? What can you do to a Christian? And yet we've got Christians all over our country who are scared to death to speak up. Scared to be who God told us to be. Scared to say what God tells us to say. Listen, the world wants us in ministry. They want us to give to the poor. They want us to help in the hurricanes. They want us to give food. They want us to give money. They want our ministry. They have no problem with that. But they don't want Jesus to go with it. And listen, church, we can't submit to that. And so many of us have decided that, well, I'll just witness with my walk. I'll just keep my mouth shut like they want me to, and I'll just try to be a good person and hope they follow suit. But that's not what my Bible tells us to do. It says go to all nations and what? And just act right? Go to all nations and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them what He's done for you. Tell them that He has swallowed up death in the grave. Tell them that there's no more sting. Tell them how to have what we have and why it's worth it to say it anyway, even if they don't like it. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? The sting of death, listen, is sin. The whole reason we die is because we're sinners. We had a little bit of a discussion this morning in Sunday school about people who say they want to be Christians, but they don't want to give up the sinful lifestyle. Well, see, it doesn't work that way because the death comes from sin. And to have deliverance from that sin, we've got to repent to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him to take away our sin. And if He takes it away, we're not going to want to keep doing it. The Bible says, God forbid that you would want to keep doing the same thing. It just doesn't work that way. Not that we become perfect, but because we don't want to do that anymore. You cannot say, I cannot. The Bible doesn't say that when you get saved, you're going to say, oh, but I still want to do the wrong thing. It says you'll still do wrong things sometimes, but you won't like it. And you won't want to, and you'll want to repent and tell Jesus, I'm so sorry that I have not lived up to the life that you want me to live, that I've not been a good example, that I'm not living that life that you asked me to live before the other people, and that I proclaimed your name and I haven't lived up to it, and I am so sorry. But help me tomorrow. Help me to do better. I want to do better. It's all about the heart, y'all. What's in your heart? In verse 57, now sin is a big sting. And then we've got God give us the law so we'll know what sin is. But the law can't save anybody. And just knowing what's right and wrong is not good enough. Because that's all the law really does, is it just writes down on paper what's right and what's wrong. But the Bible says that when we get saved, that Jesus writes right and wrong on our heart. So then I don't have to have it in black and white. Then I just love people and I love God. So I want to do the right thing. And verse 57 says this, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now how much do we thank God every day for the victory that has already been won for us? You know what I think sometimes? I think we're a little ashamed to accept the victory from God, and we think we want to fight for it. I want to fight my own battles. I was raised, you know, I was kind of raised that way. Fight your own battles. Don't ask for help. I can do it myself. I'm independent. I mean, I could be knee-deep and exhausted and about to file out and pass out, and somebody come by and say, hey, man, you need some help? No, I'm good. I'm good. I got it. I'm about to pass out, but I got it. We get that way sometimes as human beings, but we've got to, to become Christians, we've got to put away that foolish pride, don't we? We've got to push that aside. Because, listen, I don't got it. And I look back over my life, and I've had a few things. I mean, I've built houses, and I've done a few things in humanity that were big deals to me, right? Big undertakings, big jobs. But at some point, I've got to look at myself, and I've got to say, Brandon, you ain't got this. You may lie to yourself and think that you've done a few things, that you're pretty strong, that you're pretty smart, that you're pretty tough. But in the end, I know in my heart, there's something I ain't got. Something I can't handle. Something that's too big for me, and that thing is my sin. And the death that always comes with it. I can't handle it. And I got to put my pride and I got to humble myself. And I've got to say, Lord, you've got to do it for me. And you have done it for me. But I've got to accept that. And I've got to say, Brandon, don't try to fight that fight. You're always going to lose. Brandon, you don't go pick up a stick and try to beat it off of you. Don't go, because we're going to do all kinds of things, church. People do all kinds of things to beat that sin off of them, don't they? They try to pretend it's not there. They try to justify it. They try to, like the world is now, they try to change what's right and what's wrong and say, well, no, what I like to do, this sin that I like in my life, I think it's okay. And then, what happens then? Then we start learning and saying, oh, wait a minute, you know what we can do? If I say that your sin is okay and you say my sin is okay, we'll both make each other feel better about it. Now, isn't that what people do? Now, I may not like what you're doing myself, but I'll say it's okay as long as you say what I want to do. As long as you say that's okay, I'll back you up too. That's the world we live in. And you know what? It draws a lot of people in, doesn't it? Trying to find somebody that thinks like you, that will tell you you're okay. But there's not a human being on the planet that has the authority to tell you that you're okay. There's not a human being on the planet that is telling the truth when they say that you're okay. See, that's the problem with our world today. They want to say, well, everybody's okay. I had a professor in college. That was his favorite thing. We need a life. We need a vision of life in which I'm okay and you're okay. Y'all ever heard that? He thought he was very philosophical. We need to change the way people think. That I'm okay with me and you're okay with me and I'm okay with you and you're okay with you. And that none of us okay. Because you can't change truth. Can you? Now you can lie, but that lie will always fall short. That lie will never, ever feel right. You talk to anybody and listen to them say how it's okay for me to do this. It's okay for me to cheat on my wife. It's okay for me to be homosexual. It's be okay for me to get married 5 times. It's okay for this. It's okay for my son to live with his girlfriend. It's okay for this, and it's okay for that. It's okay for me to do drugs. I've had people tell me everything in the world is okay because it's what they want to be okay. And you listen to how they say it, and you'll see it in their eyes, and you'll hear it in their voice. Even while they're saying it, they don't believe it. They know in their heart it's not okay. Listen. We all know in our heart that without Jesus, we're not okay. Why do we fight it? Why do people fight it? Thanks be to God, which has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, He gives it to us. It's a free gift. We can't work for it. We can't pay for it. All we can really do is beg for it. Please, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate everything you've done for me, Lord, because I can't do it myself. Thanks be to God. Listen, church, if you know Jesus, give Him thanks. Every day, let people hear you give thanks to Jesus. Don't just grumble and gripe and fuss. Because God's not given me $1 million and he hasn't healed me and He hasn't done that. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all the, oh, I want to grumble and gripe instead of being thankful for what the Lord has done for me. And listen, if all the world ever hears us do is gripe about God, why are they going to want Him? We've got to keep things in perspective. That pain I woke up with this morning is only temporary because I'm going to be incorruptible one day. I don't need any money because I can't take it with me. All I need today, listen, all I need today is just what I need today. And the Lord will provide that. And one day He will raise us up in glory to be incorruptible. With all the riches unknown of heaven at our fingertips. And we've got to keep that in perspective, church. Let the world hear us give thanks to Almighty God for all that He has done. They need to hear it. And listen to this, last thing in verse 58. And again, there's so much instability in our world. And I constantly hear people who are unstable in their lives and they're afraid and they feel like their life is out of control. But if you live in this faith, you live in this truth, this is what the Bible says. He says, therefore, because of this, because of what I've told you, because of what Jesus has done, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. Listen, church, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to feel unstable. We don't have to feel chaotic. We don't have to feel like we don't know where to turn and we don't know what to do. Because it's not a mystery to us anymore, is it? What Jesus has done. All those feelings, all of that is for the lost. All those feelings of instability, all those feelings of fear, all of that's for the lost people, and they need it. They need fear. They need chaos. They need to feel like they're rock bottom. They need to feel like they have nowhere to go but up. They need to know that they need Jesus. But for us who have Him, we don't need those fears anymore. We don't need that instability in our lives. Because of Jesus, because of our faith in Him, because of what He's done, we can be steadfast and immovable. You can't move me. You can't change my mind. You can't get me away from Jesus. Nothing in this world can take me out of His hand. Including anything you might say, anything they might say, anything the government might say, anything a guy with a gun to my head might say, can't move me away from Jesus. That's the kind of faith we can have. That's the kind of faith Paul had. Always abounding in His Word. Because we believe these things, because we're immovable, because He's given us a steadfastness and a stability, because we believe in what He has done, now we do His work and do what He would have us to do. And we look to Him every day for guidance in our lives. And that's how we stay stable. That's how we stay positive. That's how we look forward to Jesus coming. That's how we don't get caught unaware, because He's coming like a thief in the night. And He warns us, don't get caught unaware. I'm going to come. And in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to change my people. Listen, don't get caught unaware, church. Be ready. Be working. Stay in that faith. Hold on to that truth. Be strong and stable in the victory that Jesus won for us on that cross.